And the greatness of our God. Come on, if you have a testimony of how great he's been to you, somebody give him a shout of praise right now. Come on and shake the room. Come on. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Come on. I believe in signs and wonder. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, and my praise belongs to you forever. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. Come on. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Whoa. Together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what he started. Oh, our God will finish what he started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. All right, I know this is the first song. Maybe some of us just got up. But in this house this morning, I want you to give him the biggest shout of praise that you can bring. Come on, our God is good. He is deserving of all praise. Come on and get excited. Come on. We're going to sing this out together. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. Come on.
If I'm not dead, you're not done.
No, no, no.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe.
Oh, come on.
This is my testimony.
Declare it.
From death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This
oh,
is my testimony from death.
put your hands together.
I don't need the smoke of mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who's real. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that glows, rattling my bones, till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that grows, rattling my bones, till the evidence shows. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. I don't need another counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that glows, rattling my bones, evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. A love that grows wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. You're the fire, I can't even explain it. It's like I'm bursting with a heavenly language. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been burning inside me. It's like a lion's roar wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that grows, that will never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost.
Shout out of praise.
Yeah, amen. Woo.
That you can say today, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. We know that, don't we? Well, praise God. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. I want to encourage you to turn and welcome someone. Tell them you're glad they're here today. Just say hi to them. Now, don't sit down. Don't sit down. We've still got one more song we're going to worship with. But this is the time where we want to pray for you. We want to pray whatever need you may have. Let me tell you that God wants to meet every need in your life, and there's nothing that is too difficult for Him. Amen. The Lord is here with us today. He's there with you wherever you're watching. We've got people watching us from around the world. We welcome you today. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for our nation. Wherever you may be, we want to pray for our nation. Amen. Why don't you join me as we pray today, Father? We call upon you today. We worship you today. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. And we invite you to have your way here today, to move as you will, to touch every life. We pray for every person who's watching this, wherever they may be, Lord. I thank you that you touch their life today. In the name of Jesus, we speak against this pandemic, this COVID-19. We take authority over you, and we bind you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We thank you for bringing restoration. We thank you for healing. We give you all the praise. Lord, I pray for every person who's watching this today, whatever they may be facing in their life, whatever the need may be, if they need healing in their body, I pray, Lord, let your healing power touch them right now. If they have a financial need, I ask you to meet every need, Lord. Whatever they may be facing, I pray that you would give them strength, that you would give them peace. I pray that you would bring guidance, direction, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. If you agree, say amen. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord. We've got one more song that I love. It's called The Champion. How many of you know that He is our champion? That He has defeated the enemy? He has given us the victory. Let's sing it out together. If you need prayer, if you're in here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I really need someone to pray with me, we want to pray with you today. We love you. God loves you. He wants to help you. I want our prayer partners to come forward right now. And if you need prayer, whatever it may be, just slip out of your seat. The people in your row will not mind. Just squeeze on by them and come on down, and we're going to pray. And let's worship the Lord as we sing. He is our champion. Amen.
Crown me with confidence.
feet with the one who has conquered it all. And now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory. You are my champion. Oh, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. With the one who has conquered it all.
There's power in the tongue, power of life and death in the tongue. We can decree and declare in this place that we serve a God who is victorious. We serve a God who was undefeated. Come on, somebody worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for worship. Oh,
when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me.
Says we have been seated together with him in heavenly places. that puts us in a place of victory. That puts us where we are far above anything we could face on this earth. And I hope today that as we've been singing that your faith has risen and you're able to set your eyes upon the champion who sits upon the throne in the heavens, who with whom we are seated for eternity. Come on, family, there is victory in serving Jesus. There's victory. There is victory. There's victory in this place this morning. If you walked in here and you have a need or you have a situation you're facing, I want you to look at it through the eyes of victory. I want you to look at it through the eyes with the authority that He's given us to trample upon everything that could come our way. Come on, family. There's a place of victory. There's a place of victory. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit today. I want you to know it. I want you to know who you are in Christ. We're singing, I am who He says I am. Do you know who He says you are? He says we have overcome everything. He says you're in the world and you're going to face some difficulties, but He says be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give one shout. Come on, if you believe that, give one shout. A victory. We have victory. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a great excitement in this place. It's an excitement that comes when God's children start looking to Him and start remembering what He's done. Right? Praise God. Well, I don't want to take up too much time this morning, but welcome to Ascend Church. How wonderful to have you here this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. Make yourself comfortable and be a part of this service. Won't you turn and greet someone, and you may be seated. Welcome to everyone today. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad to see you. I see some old faces, people I haven't seen for a while. See some new faces. We're so glad that you're here. And we just want to welcome those that are watching us. As Pastor Steve said, from all around the world, we're so glad you're taking part in this service. To all our Ascend Church members that are watching online still, we miss you. We love you. We have your seat waiting for you, so we can't wait to see you soon. And I'd like to welcome any first-time guests to let you know I'm the pastor's wife. I'm Jill Barry. And if you are here for the first time, this church loves visitors, don't we? Come on. We do. And so if you're here for the first time, we want you to just feel welcome, feel comfortable. We've been in a lot of churches around the world, and I'd say this is the friendliest congregation, so you can just relax and enjoy yourself. But if you're here for the first time, our ushers are standing ready with a visitor bag. They'd like to just hand it to you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. Just wave it till an usher gets to you. Thank you. In there's a couple of things for you, and there is a guest card. If you take a moment and just fill that out, in a little while we'll pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in. It's that Pastor Steve would have an opportunity to call you and just find out how you enjoyed the service. And please hang around afterwards. We'll be in the lobby and just like to meet you. Thank you for doing that. I want to remind you that there's four different platforms you can watch us on. Getting myself out of breath. We have different platforms, so sometimes you have technical difficulties with one. Facebook Live is the most popular, but we have ascendchurch.us. If you went to our website, you can always watch the services, watch previous services. If you go to our mobile app, I like that personally. It has all the old sermons. It has blogs. It has all kinds of things for you, and you can watch the service live on there. And also on YouTube, Send Church Jupiter. So if you go ahead and like us on the YouTube page, all of those are shareable. So if you hear something that you feel like you wish someone was sitting next to you listening to it, don't we always feel like that? But you can go ahead and share that. So thank you for doing that. If you're watching on Facebook Live, just go ahead and share the live stream. It reaches a whole lot more people than are actually even in our church building. Amen. And comment from where you're watching. Send us prayer requests. And thank you for giving online. It's really simple. You can go ahead. There's a link that you can just click on and you can give. It takes you through some very simple steps. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? I'm excited. Who was here on Saturday? We had some good meetings. I feel like church is just continuing, right? And to let you know, we do have a Spanish translation currently running. It's on our website and on our app. So if you need a Spanish translation in the service, just let an usher know and we'll show you how to do that. And I want to tell you, I'll remind you of our four purposes. First of all, as a church, we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose and to make a difference with your life. Amen. We're going to receive the church offering at this time in the service. We're gonna come on. I like it, Roxroy. Praise God. I want to thank everybody who's already given. Many people give online through the week, and it's such a blessing to our church. That's the way we tithe, is online. It's just really simple. You can do it through our app, or you can do it on our website. It's really simple. A simple setup the first time, and then after that, it's just a matter of entering your password and going ahead. But as we're going to receive the offering, you know, sometimes we forget that what we accomplish here on earth is going to stay here, right? We can't take our belongings with us. We're not taking with us, right? Pastor Steve always says, I've never done a funeral where there was a U-Haul behind the coffin, right? One benefit we have, though, as followers of Christ, is the fact that what we do here on earth can have an impact on the kingdom of God, which does last forever, right? And so the more we invest in other people's lives and in the ministry of the church, the more we are investing into the eternal kingdom of God. That's really what we're doing. You know, sometimes people think they're giving just to keep the lights on or just to do some repairs in the church, but we have to look beyond that. It's investing in the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Yeah, stockpile treasure in heaven where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. That's the words of Jesus. Don't put all your focus on hoarding on earth. Begin stockpiling treasure in heaven. So when we bring our tithes and our offerings, we are investing in God's eternal kingdom. Jesus goes on to say one more verse in the same chapter, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. They had been asking him, he'd been talking about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? You know, all the things that we think about every day, you know, all the natural things. And he said, when you seek first the kingdom of God, all the things that you're thinking about will be added to you. And that's without effort, right? And so as the ushers come forward this morning, I'd like to encourage you to invest in the kingdom of God. Who knows the amount of lives that'll be changed? We were just saying yesterday, the people that were able to come in and receive the word yesterday and get prophecies and hear from the Spirit of God was because somebody invested in the kingdom of God. Every time a life is changed, it's because of those who are the investors in the kingdom of God. Amen. So there are various ways to give. They'll put it up on the screen. If you're giving by cash or credit card or check, use the red envelope that's right there. If you want to give online, it's really simple. Just have a look there. You can scan the barcode that's on the seat in front of you. It'll take you to our app. And you can text give. That's really easy too. It all goes through the same system. It's very secure. And we thank you for those that are watching online. Go ahead and give. And we appreciate your support. We appreciate you giving in this house to the kingdom of God. Amen. God has been faithful to us, and I know He'll be faithful to you. Amen. Let me just pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every giver. I thank you for every family represented here. You know every need, Father. I just agree with Pastor Steve where he said if there are any financial needs, we believe God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, provides every need. I agree with him in faith over your people, Father God. Thank you for your word that promises that as we put your kingdom first, so these things will be added to us. Thank you for doors of opportunity in people's lives. Thank you, Father, for meeting the right person, being in the right place at the right time. We thank you for increase and multiplication upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead. Thank you, ushers.
Thank you so much. Do a great job, doesn't she? Does a great job. Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to see you today. I'm so glad that you are here this morning. We had a great time yesterday at our prophetic seminar with Prophet Ed. It was really great. I'm looking forward to today. How many people are fasting? This is day 7 of our fast. How many people fasting? How many people fasting and praying? Well, I've been fasting and praying this whole week. I just want to let you know that we've been praying at the church from 7 until 8 every night for 1 hour, Monday through Friday. And there's Dimini. Bless her heart. Dimini, she drives down from Port St. Lucie every day to come and pray. Every day. She drives down from Port St. Lucie to come and pray. What's your excuse for not being here? I want to encourage you. The reason we come to pray is because if there's, first of all, because the Word of God tells us to pray without ceasing. Secondly, if there's ever a time we needed to pray, it's now. I want to encourage you to come and pray this week, even if you only come one time. But get here and pray. You need it. Aren't you thankful that you're in a church where the Holy Ghost is present? Aren't you thankful you're in a Holy Ghost church? So I want to encourage you to come pray with us this week, every night, Monday to Friday, from 7 to 8 we pray. And there's something else I wanted to say. What was it? You know everything I want to say before I say it. We're having service tonight. I'm going to get to that. All right. I guess it'll come back to me. Well, we are... I know what I wanted to say. We had a little problem with Facebook this morning. I believe it has been fixed. But that's why we have 4 different platforms that you can watch the service. So that if something goes wrong on one, switch to another. We're on YouTube. We're on our website, ascendchurch.us. We're on Facebook, and we're on our mobile app. So there's 4 different ways to watch us. But you know what? It's always good to actually be here. Because then no matter what happens with technology, it doesn't affect you at all. Amen? And I'm very thankful for those watching online, but there's something about actually being here with God's people. The worship today, I'm sorry that they missed it. Because the worship today was so good. The worship team did such a great job. Why don't you give them a big round of applause? They did such a great job. Yeah. Let us know you're here today. There's a register that's going to come by. Would you be so kind? Just fill out your name and number when it comes by. We'd love to know you're here, and I'd love to get in contact with you. And we are so glad to have our dear friend, Prophet Ed Trout, with us again today. Prophet Ed, we've known for many, many years, and he's been in the ministry many, many years, and he's from South Africa, lives now in Texas, and there's so much I could say about him, but this is a man, I can tell you that having spent a lot of time with Ed, that he loves the Lord. He just loves the Lord. He loves the church. He's here to build up churches, and I love that about him. And God has given him an amazing gift. He prophesies over people. I just love to watch it in operation with such accuracy. And I know there's people like Miguel back there in media. Last time Ed was here, he prophesied you were getting a new job because Miguel drives these big trucks for Pepsi, those big 18-wheel trucks, and he gets up. He has to be at work at 4:30 in the morning. Is that right? And he's been doing that for a number of years. And Ed said to him, your days of driving are coming to an end. You're going to be getting a promotion. And sure enough, he got the promotion. He's not driving anymore. He's in management now. And he doesn't have to be there at 4:30 in the morning anymore. Now he starts at 7 o'clock. He starts at 7. So praise God. So anyway, I want you to give a big welcome this morning to Prophet Ed Trout.
Family of God. We are family. We have the same father, different mothers. You guys do a good job there. All right. So glad to be here today. I really appreciate this church and how authentic it is. That's how I would describe this church and leadership. It's not pretentious, religious, legalistic, performance orientated. It's not a business. It's authentic. Amen. So if you have something negative to say about it, take my advice and don't say it. Not even to you. Talk it up, girl. All right. So for those who heard, my name is Ed Trout. I'm a husband of one wife. I have three children. I have three children, nine grandkids, and one on the way. I love grandchildren. I always thought they were my reward for not killing my children. Now my grandchildren have all grown. All I am is an ATM. They just press a button. Grandpa, they think grandpa has an endless supply just because I know God. I know the one who has the endless supply. I'm just not it. I do live in San Antonio. I was born and raised in a city called Cape Town. My mother arrived there at the age of 8 on a refugee ship with her family from Germany, exiling the Holocaust. Many of our family were killed, or their family, however you want to see it. I was born and raised in Cape Town, and I got to know the Lord at the age of 10. I heard the gospel for the first time at the age of 10, 13 I got saved, but at the age of 10, I heard the gospel from a child evangelist at school, which gave me a deep appreciation for people that spend time with children in children's church, taking care of kids in any way, shape, or form. It's such a dedication because those children will become, here I am today after 40 odd years of ministry around the world. And we were just now a few days ago in Rockford, Illinois. One of my spiritual sons here, and I was looking at one of these men there whose life had been changed. And I was looking at this man, he'd come in because his father on his deathbed had made him promise to go to church. He was a drug dealer, never had done drugs, but he'd always, since the day he left school, actually at school, began to deal with drugs and become a very wealthy young man just from dealing drugs in Rockford, Illinois. This is his own testimony. He came to church because he fulfilled his promise to his dad, only to have me as a guest speaker in that church pick him out and prophesy over him. And he got saved that morning because he said, it's impossible that anybody could know what you said. It's impossible. Nobody knows it but me. Nobody. And so he has been in that church for some years now. He's gone with me to Israel and different trips and different places around the world. He's followed me. And I was looking at him, and I wondered, the first thought wasn't about how good only God is, but also, if that child evangelist hadn't come to my school, that he may not have been impacted. And it dovetails into what I want to share this morning about the plans of God and how big they are and what God does. I'm reading from the book of Psalms this morning. I like to teach. I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. I used to be a preacher. I used to yell, spit, and hit the pulpit. But the Lord delivered me, and now I'm a teacher. I was a Pentecostal preacher, if you know what that means. All right, so if you'll turn your Bibles, the book of Psalms 105. We know for sure that 75 of the Psalms written by David. There's no perfect indicator who wrote this psalm, except I like to throw these things in so it'll stimulate your interest in the Bible, which is your most fantastic book that you could possibly own. The first 15 verses of the Psalms was used and sung when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. So the feeling is because he sang it and knew the words that he probably wrote them. But I'm reading from verse 16 of the book of Psalm 105, and it's in the middle of the Bible under P's, the Psalms, just to help those that are not sure. It says here in my Bible, and I read from the New Interesting Version, NIV. Let me just stop and just tell you for a moment about translations. Our Bible is written in three different languages. It's written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. New Testament is written in Greek because the entire world at the time had the most commonly spoken language was Greek. Even though Jesus spoke Hebrew, and so did all the disciples, they all understood Greek because it was the most commonly known language. May have spoken fluently. If you go to Italy, there'll be some people that'll speak English. And so in China, you'll always be able to get through to someone with English. And that's the same way with Greek. So the words translated over the years from the Hebrew as they were spoken, as they were told, the stories were told. And we know that God has kept the authenticity of the Bible, the accuracy of the Word of God. It's just phenomenal how that it never lost any of its perfection and the wording that it never lost. And I can go tell you all that in detail. But you need to understand that our Bible only started getting translated 400 years ago into English. It was always in the original manuscripts, and then, of course, the Catholic Church gathered an enormous amount of material, which is still not shared with the rest of the world. And there were many books that they would gather together, and it was a man called King James that decided to translate it in a language that all could understand. And that's why we have King James English, because that's the language they spoke at the time. He gathered a group known as the Canon, and they began, 60-odd men began to translate the books. Unfortunately, they didn't all translate the same books together. They were grouped together, and different people grouped around different books. But they translated it and spent many years translating into to our English as we know it today. They had to also pick which books would form the Bible. We have 66 books in our Bible. There are many more books that are not in there because that they chose not. And you can find them in a collection known as the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha has all kinds of books, like from Peter 1, Peter 2, and interesting things. And, of course, the Maccabees, which the Catholic Bible does have, is in there too. And you can get it's available to anyone who wants to read it. And it's all interesting. We know the 66 books put together were supernaturally put together. We believe God had his hand in the whole thing. It's very interesting. The Bible has so many numeric values. For example, the Isaiah, which is one of the top books used by the Jews, they only have one. The Torah only has 24 books in it, and that one is Isaiah is one of them. And Isaiah has 66 chapters, and our Bible has 66 books. And the parallel projection from each book of Psalms, of each book of Isaiah, to each book in the Bible is just uncanny. And if you're interested in those things, you'll begin to study those. But now, get back to the Psalms. David, who wrote Psalms himself, was a very spiritual man. When God picked him, he didn't pick him for his skills. In fact, he was a throwback of some kind. He had red hair, red complexion. We don't know who his mother was. It could have been anybody. In fact, that he wasn't at the very feast was a fact that at the sacrifice, he wasn't one of the elect in the dad's brain. There was no way. Seven of his boys could be king, but not him. David had no chance in the father, in Jesse's mind. But David was a man of the Spirit, and that's why he was to this day celebrated as the greatest king that Israel ever had, because he was spiritual, he was godly, and he led them into one victory and spiritually and naturally and in every way was an example. Even though he had human failings, he was a man after God's own heart. And the reason he was a man after God's own heart wasn't because he was without sin. He was not without sin. It was simply because, as Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says, he would do everything God asked him. It's in the word clearly. He was God's, picked by God because he would do what God said. So if you want to be recognized by God or liked by God, get into the habit of doing what God says. Believe me, nobody in this room does everything God asks. When we teach on finances, it's because people struggle, and finances is the bottom of the food chain of obedience. If you can't, that's what Jesus said, if you can't obey him with ungodly mammon, you won't obey him with spiritual riches. That's what he said. I'm just teaching you the word of God. Now, this Psalm 105, verse 16 says, God himself called down a famine on the land. This causes so much pain for so many theologians that propagate the faith message because they don't think God would do something like that. God would never cause a storm. You'd never cause a famine. But then it says in black and white, God called down a famine on the land and God destroyed all their supplies of food. That's what it says there. I didn't write it. And God sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, and his neck was put into irons, until what he prophesied or foretold came to pass, till the word of God proved him true. Joseph, what an interesting young man. If I would interview people in this room, I guarantee you, you all have a story. You have wounds, you've had therapy, counseling, you've had people help you, you've had youthful things that you had. So much pain. The funny thing is, my mother told me my childhood would be the happiest days of my life. But I've grown up to know that my childhood is something you spend the rest of your life trying to fix. Because you have so much things happen as a child. Most of us have this pain that because our parents did something wrong, our teacher, our friends, something happened in our childhood that wasn't as happy as could be. And all of us struggle with things. And then we go through relationship struggles because you don't know much. We go a whole life through to gain wisdom just so we can die with it. Because if we had the wisdom when we're 60, when we're 20, our relationships would take on a whole different shape, a whole different form. We'd pick different kinds of people altogether. In fact, some of you are married on your second or third marriage to someone that you would never have picked, but yet you're happy with them. Because not only have you changed, but also your taste has changed and what you're looking for, your knowledge changed, everything changed. So everybody has a story about your childhood, everybody. Joseph had one too. This is how it went. Joseph was born into a family that was very dysfunctional. Of course, we're all dysfunctional. Let me tell you, nobody in this room has a non-dysfunctional family. That's why in America we only have one Thanksgiving. It's all we can endure. We love Thanksgiving. We're happy when they come, and we're happier when they go. You and me, girl. You and me. She's helping me preach my sermon. Teach my teaching. Anyway, so his family was so dysfunctional. His dad walked with a limp, had an encounter with God, and he was madly in love with his mother. But his mother, being extremely beautiful, was not the firstborn, so the grandfather of Joseph, who was also a crook, tricked his dad into marrying his aunt, who was the eldest, but certainly not attractive, as Rachel was. And I want you to try to imagine the reality of that, of working 7 years, dating a beautiful girl, with being so in love. And on your wedding night, you must be so excited. You may have had a few drinks, however it happened. But he woke, well, it's not uncommon for them to do that. He wakes up on his wedding morning next to Leah. Now, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says that she had weak eyes, which means she was cross-eyed. Now, imagine waking up to not the girl you're in love with and saying, "What's up?" I mean, it's seriously OMG. It must have scared the... "Hey, what are you doing in this here?" You married me. No idea. Yes, you know. And yes, it must have been such a shocker. And so he goes and looks for Rachel, and he begins to sleep with Rachel. He hasn't married her yet. And he had to work 7 years for her before he could marry her. And then he finally is married to her after 7 years. And Leah has become pregnant, and so has Leah's servant. And so has Rachel's servant, because they're a wealthy family. And so all these children of this Jacob's been born, but they all have brothers, which creates another tension, because some of them think they're better than the others because it's the firstborn and you have the servants. And the servants' mothers are not as honored, as you know, as Ishmael and Isaac are not the same thing. And so this whole thing grows and grows and grows. And finally, Rachel, after years of being tense, she says to the one she loves, she says, I'm not pregnant. And she's miserable and they're making fun of me. She's having this constant torment. And he says, am I in the place of God? I can change it. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I have children. I'm trying. And then finally she falls pregnant. The joy of having a child, finally the woman he loves, and it's Joseph. So Joseph gets born and he is favored, not because he did anything except get born. Now you are favored of God just because you got born again. When you got born again, God's favor hits you. The difficulty is you think God's favor makes life easy and you get a parking in front of the grocery store right in front and think God's favor. No. Favor works in many ways and sometimes it works exactly opposite. People despise you and don't know why. You walk into the office and they all stop talking. They make sure there's enough coffee when you go to the canteen. They're just that kind of little things, and you wonder why. It's God's favor on you that the ungodly resent. They don't even know it. They don't know why. They just resent you because you have favor of God on your life. The favor takes time before it produces and works its magic or its special power. It takes time for that favor to show itself. And Joseph, being born, his dad showered him with attention and love, creating tension. The brothers already had tension amongst themselves. Now he comes, and dad is showing favors. They're all trying to win their dad's favor, and now he's favoring this boy and he did nothing. And the boy just doesn't understand. He's got nothing to compare it with, so he's all full of confidence. And they think he's arrogant, but he's doing his best. And he has this dream. He's a young kid having a dream. Now, the scripture says that visions are for the young ones and dreams are for the older ones. That scripture says that. Because the Jewish understanding is when you're 40, you begin to become an older man. You're more wise. They regard you as wise. You're 13, you start your manhood. And so this young boy didn't understand his dreams, and he relays them to his brothers, and there's a lot of disgruntled attitude. But when he relays his dream about his mom and dad, or the star, the moon and the sun, which he doesn't know what it means, his dad immediately can interpret it and says, just eat your food. Do you think we're going to bow down? Don't be ridiculous. We're not going to bow down to you. Mom and I won't. How did you know? He didn't know what it meant. He's too young. And he didn't ask for trouble. Nobody looks for trouble. And certainly we do things we shouldn't do. But this boy was really a total example. He was really a good boy. He wasn't up to mischief. He didn't try to smoke pot and get drunk with the guys and do a carousing with the women. He was a good boy. He did everything that was right. But his brothers hated him. They were actually his half-brothers. It's Christians that will dislike you because they're your half-brothers. They haven't made a full commitment or a full... You know, a lot of you are born again and you're going to go to heaven, no question. But not all of you have given your lives to God yet. Because while you're making your own decisions, your life is yours. When he's making decisions for you and you want him to, your life is his. And you get there, it's the happiest place on earth. Not Disneyland. The happiest place on earth is being in God's perfect will. Now, this Joseph, here he is. He didn't do something to deserve or cause this thing. In our lives, many of us wonder when you end up going through a calamity, what in the world did I do? What did I do to deserve this? What mistake? And so many people, after a divorce or some other situation, they are analyzing their whole life in detail, trying to figure out what they could have done better, should have, would have, could have. They're trying to find a way. and you don't understand what you did wrong. Let me tell you that we all of us are always doing things wrong because we're all of us imperfect. And God has no stress with that at all. Not at all. One of his chief spiritual people, Paul, was pleading with God to remove the thorn in his flesh. And God says, no, my grace is enough for you. I want you to keep that and my grace will carry you. Remember, I'm carrying you with my grace. But you don't ever think you're too cool on your little self. You have to depend on me. God wants you to depend upon him, especially if he's using you and you become spiritually fine-tuned. God has to keep you in a place where you don't forget who the boss is. Very quick to forget, even spiritually, in your journey. And so all of us are on a journey. Now, this Joseph did not go looking for trouble. And before you know it, he's sold as a slave and carted off to another nation. I know as a 17-year-old boy, he kept waiting and hoping that dad will come and find him. Surely, the one person that loved him, he was the prize joy of his dad's heart. Dad will not just accept it. He kept looking down the road. He was in shackles. He was bruised. He was hurt. And he was sold as a slave. And he's in another country. They don't speak Hebrew. They speak the Egyptians. And the culture is different. They look different. They have different color skin. They worship a god with a dog ears and rats, all kinds of strange phenomena around him. And he keeps waiting, keeps thinking it's going to change. And 13 years go by. He's the slave. He grew up from 17, 13 years go by. He's 30 years old. And of course, being Jewish, he's super attractive. We all have that problem. What? And of course, Potiphar's wife couldn't, it wasn't uncommon to want to use the servants, and she wanted to use him. He said, ain't happening, I'm Jewish, you got the wrong person. And so now, when he ran, it wasn't because this little petite Egyptian lady could rip his clothes off and rape him. It's not possible. It's because he was losing the cool. He had enough testosterone at the age of 30 to keep him going, and it was a fight inside of him too. So he ran. You cannot overcome sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee like hell is after you. You've got to run from it. You can't play with it. You've got to run from it. Everyone in this room, no matter how old you are, how you think you look, or whatever you think about that spiritual thing of immorality or lust will hunt you down, and you can't overcome it. You've got to get away from it as far and as fast as you can. I'm telling you the truth. Don't feed it. Run from it. And that's what Joseph did. He ran from it. And if she felt slighted and upset, and before you knew, he was in prison for something he hadn't done. Now, you must wonder what's going through this 30-year-old's mind. He was favored. He didn't ask for this. His crazy family never going to get him. He's lost for 13 years. Nobody's looking for him. Does nobody care? He's in a foreign country. By now, he speaks fluent Egyptian. He's adopted a lot of their ways and understands them. And he's all by himself. He's got no other Jewish people to have a former synagogue or worship God. And here he is in jail, and he doesn't know what he did to deserve this. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you wonder, did I do? Why am I in this? How can this be happening to me? It's almost unreal. The whole thing is strange. And yet it says there that God called a famine. God had a plan in motion and was waiting for certain things to be in place because he had a much bigger program in mind. Much bigger program. And Joseph played a very vital role in it, and he had no clue. All the way through it, he had no clue what part of the journey he was going to play. And so here he is now, he's in jail, and the sequence of events happens. Of course, you have wine taste and the baker come into jail, they're put into jail there, and they both dream. And so he interprets the dreams. He says, tell me your dreams. You know, dreams are from God. Tell me, I'm from a Jewish race where we serve God. And they tell him, and they go back, and he reminds the wine taster, and I remember, it's me. He's promoting himself. He wants out. He's looking for an open door. He hasn't reached the place that God has got him ready for his task. Our lives, all of us here, we live in moments that change everything. One moment that'll change everything. Joseph's destiny, all those years of his brother's torment, of being sold as a slave, falsely accused, put into prison, was building up to one single moment that would change our lives. He had to appear before Pharaoh. because God had a much bigger plan. And just very briefly, I've taught this before here, just very briefly, for you to be saved, you needed a savior. For you to have a savior, we needed somehow a platform for the savior to be introduced into the world. And God said we need a people. Of all the nations of the world, we need a people that will be known forever as God's people, so that we know this is where the Savior came from, and that was the platform that it works from. So to have a people, we couldn't just evolve a tribe or a religious group. It had to be an entire nation. The only way to do an entire nation is to bring them into the womb and birth them of Egypt. So do that was an enormous oppression and depression, because already when Abraham was promised you'd have a son, already God, before his wife was pregnant, God promises him in Genesis 15, he says that your descendants will be slaves for 400 years. It's really part of the plan. Before his wife is pregnant, he's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing to cause this. It's already part of the program. Just that you know, whatever our political situation with our President Trump is, there's a much bigger plan in motion. Way beyond our capacity to comprehend, and that's why we trust him. If we knew what God was doing, we wouldn't need to trust him. We tell our children, why? Because I say so. And why we say it is because there's no way I can explain this to you. You're not going to get it. It'll take me days. When they get older, when they get reasoning, you start reasoning with them, because now they have more understanding. We are like babies. We are so fundamental that God dumbs the Bible down. I mean, really, in the garden, there were two trees. What am I, brain damaged? I mean, really, how fundamental can you go? It's as baby language as you can get. The whole Bible's baby language, because you may think you're smart, but believe me, here's God and here's you. So there's a much bigger plan in your little tiny efforts. You've got all these convictions and these ideas, and you want to mouth off about these things. But as God's people, the only way you can mouth off anything is to get it from him, because he knows a whole lot more. Well, Daddy says, Father says, that's how you know what's going on. You may think you know. You may think you have understanding. You have nothing unless he gives it to you. Do you understand that? Even Jesus said exactly those words to Pontius Pilate. He says, speak up. Don't you know I have the power of life and death over you? And Jesus said, you have nothing except the Father give it to you. Everything you have, everything that happens, comes from way beyond your understanding. There's someone in control. It may not be your idea, but it's God. He knows what he's doing. Now, Joseph himself was on a journey because of Israel had a destiny so that you could be saved. And to get that, we had to get the whole nation come into Egypt for 400 years, be under enormous pressure, constantly beating them under the fire of being slaves. And they became so united and so strong. The harder they took away the straw to build, the stronger they became, the more they called to God. That one single virtue was serving God. Nobody else to help us. And so the time for the nation is ready to be born. The baby's ready. Fully grown, 600 of them. And then the first of the birth pains, the whole Egypt shakes. It's called a plague. The first one wasn't as bad as the second one, but they grew in intensity, each plague. And when a baby gets born, there's usually a showing of blood on the doorposts, the blood. And then the water broke right through the Red Sea, and the baby comes out the other side. Israel's born. Now, what does mother do with the baby? We nurture. So no Assyrians, no Egyptians, no one but God and his baby in Egypt, in the desert. For desert for 40 years, he's nurturing, growing, they're crawling, they're struggling, they're becoming a people under him, knowing nothing else and growing as a child. Now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And there's one fight. He's exercising their muscles and the relationship, constantly building them all the way to possess that land. So that historically they become formed as a people of God. So that thousands of years later, the Savior is born from them. Jesus said, salvation is from the Jews. Now to have that, we needed to bring the seed into Egypt. And he says, when the time was right, God called a famine on the land. because now he's preparing this little key person, because Joseph, as do you, have moments that change everything. So the moment was getting ready to be born when he had to appear before Caesar. The situation was setting it up, and God is waiting for Joseph. You're still promoting yourself, Joseph. I've got to wait a little longer, another 2 more years, until you get this out of you. Then you stop fighting and struggling and striving so hard. So 2 years go by, and it's time. God says, Joseph, you're looking like you've got the right attitude. You're sweeping those floors. You got favor with this prison keeper. I think you're ready. And so what happens is, he gives a dream to Pharaoh, 2 dreams, and Pharaoh can't find anybody to interpret. The dream did not impress the Pharaoh, the interpreting. It was actually getting him there. The dream made the place. The gift makes room for you in the presence of kings. That's what the scripture says. The gift got him there, but it wasn't the gift that impressed the Pharaoh. He had people with gifts. What impressed him was after Joseph tells him, he says, sir, this is what your dreams mean now. Find someone in your nation. This is what he said. Not me. He's not pushing himself. Find someone in your nation. And he lays out a plan. I would have used that plan to get out of prison. Offered my services. But when the Pharaoh heard, he was so unselfishly concerned for a nation that wasn't his, that he would sacrifice himself back to prison, but save the nation. He turns to his advisors and says, can we find a man in all of Egypt with a heart like this? So it was his heart and attitude that impressed the king, the Pharaoh, not his gift. And in your life, your journey has so many bumps and scratches and things God's doing, because he's preparing you for a moment that you might not even notice that you change everything, just because your heart has changed, because you've prepared and mature and you respond in the right way in the given situation. Those moments in your life will change everything. Just a few words, a few responses, changes. How many times in your life you look back and say, if only I hadn't said that. I wish I could take that back. Because that's how those things change around us. And you are God's agents, God's children, God's salt of the earth. And so because he's preparing you, he has no problem putting you through the mill, because he wants to get you so finely tuned, because the aftermath, the reward is way beyond the greatest thing. God uses tragedy, and Joseph grasped some of that. He said to his brothers, what you meant for my evil, what you meant, they meant to hurt him. There are people in your life that set out to harm you. For whatever reason, whatever hatred it is, they set out to get you. And they may want to do that, but what you meant for my evil, God meant for the good, for the saving of many lives. And I'm so glad Joseph got some comfort out of that, because he suddenly saw, now, because I'm in the power, I can feed those who haven't got food. And he felt in his heart, he felt empowered, and he felt so fulfilled. But if I got Joseph here to this church here, Ascend, I'd say, now look around here, Joseph. These people would not even be here. You think you just fed them? There are millions of people saved because you were positioned and had to give up your country and your culture and everything and become that man. God work you over through a miserable life so that you could bring Israel to get born. You didn't see the birthing of Israel. That was some 400 years after you. You never saw all that, and how that from that thousands of years later, a Savior came, and how that thousands of years later, right here in Jupiter, people are born again, destined for heaven, simply because you played your role. Do you understand? So why I'm telling you all that is, every one of you have destiny. Every one of you have moments that change everything. You may whine and complain about the things you go through, but you need them. You need them to shape you. It's way easier to do it. When the more abandoned you are to God, the easier God can shape you. The more you resist, the harder it is. It keeps taking a little more effort to grow you, to get you to where you're supposed to go to. It's very important you grasp some of these things, because even now, I've watched the reaction of people about the prophets saying that Trump's going to win. God's much bigger. The Lord said to me, kings will come and go, but I'll always be on the throne. You know the King of all kings. You have nothing to panic, no matter who's president, whoever is. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of God. Nobody's bigger than God. Doesn't matter who's president, who's not president. God's in charge. Yes, Trump did wonderful for this nation. I understand that. A lot of good fun. There's no question. But God is the one behind it all. He's the one that empowers. He's the one that does things. And I can honestly tell you, for those who were not here at the seminar, before he became president, I already prophesied he'd be president, but only serve one term. And they shouted me down and thought I was wrong and I was a bad prophet. And it's not that I want to be right. It's but because already God had a program and a plan. It wasn't because he didn't do good. He wasn't do well. There was a certain time and allotment. And you may the Christians may want in their fervor and zeal for him to be because that's their idea. But God's got a much bigger program in motion. You're not here to stay. You're here to pass through. You're passing through. But you must play your role and grow all you can, because once you've passed through, you can come back and redo. So don't waste your opportunities and your times. Don't make it about yourself. Look to find what he wants for you. Look to use the tragedies, what the devil meant for evil, God had a plan in. He wants to use it to accomplish things. And what you may think is a small thing you've done for that person over there, the ripple effect is mind-boggling. And a young unknown evangelist wrote in his memoirs that he'd, on the East Coast, he'd put up his tent and it rained out, washed completely out so badly, he kept doing services and only one little boy got saved. His name was Billy Graham. He had no idea the whole week he was doing evangelistic for one single guy who would touch the world. You just don't know. Just do what God wants and make sure that you yield it to him. He's got a plan. Let me, those who are not part of this church, those who are watching, let me just tell you that in my journey around the world, I have only one thing in mind. That's to build God's kingdom. I am not playing games. I don't care what people think or say. I'm not trying to please people. I don't care. I'm too old for that nonsense. But I will tell you, I like truth. I like reality. This church, if I would assess or evaluate or comment on the word on this church, Ascend Church, you're going to find a church that's authentic, real. It's a real church. It's not pretentious. So I encourage you, if you're not part of a family, lock yourself in. Don't criticize. Don't moan. If you're looking for a perfect church, just keep looking because you're not going to find one. While you here, it's less perfect. But the family God allocates you to is the one that you prosper the most in. Be part of your family and grow in it and flourish where God has planted you. It's that simple. I hope I taught you something of value today. You know, the Old Testament has so much value. You know, in the book of Matthew, Jesus' words were, in Matthew 13:52, he said, therefore, every teacher of the law, that's the Old Testament people teach the law, who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And there's lots of treasure in the Old Testament with God and interacting with his people to help you in your journey. Don't discard the Old Testament because some of it seems boring. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Word of God become alive to you. We Americans have so much resources to us. It's just mind-boggling. We have the Bible, audio, visual. We have movies galore that'll help make it easier for you to absorb and to understand some of the Bible. Don't be illiterate and without knowledge about the Word of God. Equip yourself. Get the Word of God inside of you. Amen. All right. Let the games begin. Why are you laughing, Abel? All right. Just to quickly mention a word from the sponsor. We do have amazing books here. I spent my life, 40-odd years, working for the Lord, and I put a lot of years into this book, Interpreting Dreams, because everybody dreams and they ask me every day to interpret their dreams. It'll teach you the patterns of how to dream, what's going on. Because everyone's got a pattern in their dreams, whether it's literal or figurative, and you identify, am I dreaming for myself, for the ministry, am I dreaming for someone else? Because, you know, Nebuchadnezzar asked God about his kingdom, and so he got a dream about a statue with clay feet to do with what he asked God. And so there's things that influence your dreaming. And in the back of it, I have a dictionary to help you from the Bible to interpret things, because they're different things that have different meanings. And Jesus told us, for example, he told us there are 18 parables and only three he told us what they meant, one of which is the seed of the sower. And there are four places the seed fell, and that he explained to them, the seed is the word of God. And then the bird, not a vulture, not an evil bird, a bird came along and stole the seed, and he called it the devil. So a bird can be good or negative, depends on the scene, and that book will teach you all that, those kind of things. So it is a must, and I really encourage you to read it. Not once, keep reading it. It's going to equip you to interpret the dreams, and God will be speaking to you on a regular basis. We have wonderful CDs that I have produced professionally. This particular series of four was done. It's called The War Room. It's about what's going on spiritually around us and how to warfare. We're called to be overcomers. We're called to go out and effectively touch and do things spiritually as we are God's representative. Please don't be too excited about that. Okay, so please go at the back, and if you don't have any material, make yourself available to that. All right, thank you for being here. Come stand. Okay, did you hear how I spoke? That's my language, my home language. I'm not English speaking. Hy kom van waar ek vandaan kom. Ons verstaan mekaar baie goed, maar julle klomp pampoene kan nie eens verstaan. Julle het nie 'n clue nie. Ja, okay. So, sound real nice, y'all. In America, we have different languages too. We have Southern and Yankee. Yous guys, urines, and y'all are all the same word, apparently. Only y'all's only one person. You've got to say, oh, y'all. This is, his name is Antoine Meyer. He has one wife and two children, and he has a church in Boksburg or Springs. Springs. He lives in Boksburg or Benoni or somewhere like that near, in Johannesburg. So he's just going to be here this month, and we've been equipping and training him for, I'm looking for soldiers for God. And he's one of them I'm training. Okay, good. So let me start here. I saw, let me get this, there's four people sitting. Are you family? Okay. What is your name, Grandma?
Marie.
Hi, Marie. Are you the mother of who? Who the mother of? Okay. And all right. And you the, that's your wife next to you? Okay. So what, Marie, your time is not up. I need you to know that we all have a season and we all have a use by date, but your use by date is not yet. You've been feeling some things physically. This will pass. It's just a difficulty. It will pass. You've been carrying some burden and you're kind of tired about so many things. God wants to refresh you. Just reach out to him. Let him refresh you because your work is not done. You haven't touched the lives you're supposed to. God also wants to finish healing some things in your own heart of unforgiveness, disappointment, frustrations, things you went through. He wants to fix those things because you were born for a purpose. And you've done a lot of good in your life, more than you even remember. You've touched people's lives along your journey, even though you had some real doozies to deal with. But this season is very special to the Lord with you and God. And what is your name, sir?
Bob.
Robert. Bob. Roberto. And this is your lovely wife who thought that you had money and she married you because she thought you were rich. What's your name, ma'am?
Andrea.
What do you do, Bob?
A real estate broker.
You've known and seen success and God's blessing on your life. It's been a kind of a strain lately, but it's gonna take up again. And God's going to open up a very unusual contract for you somehow. That's a whole regional area that went on hold and somebody else had it. And they've gone out of the picture and you're going to grab it now and you're going to do it, which was meant for you in the first place.
Amen.
God wants to prosper you, but he wants all of you to be serving all of him. Very important. You're very sincere towards the Lord, but your life's so busy. You've got all the stuff going on. You need to be locked in. And what do you do, ma'am? Retired photographer. You're a very spiritual lady. There's a strong spiritual sense with you and God. You walk with the Lord and you alert. There's a strong prophetic anointing on you. No question. You can hear God more. You don't call it that, but you hear. You just have a feeling. Get feelings. Well, you've had them for years, and that's the Holy Ghost. The prophetic gift you've always had. In fact, there's so many things that happened that you regret you didn't talk about because you saw them. Why didn't I say something? And you've helped him. And you know what? He actually listens to you. He's one of the few husbands that listens to his wife. Imagine that. It's a miracle. He pays attention to you because he's in his decision-making, he's considered the things you've said because he's seen the effects of God through your life. But God's stepping it up in you. He's going to increase the prophetic in you and your effectiveness in people's lives. It is not God's plan for you guys to move. You are right where he wants you. It's time for the thing to escalate, not moving. If you move, it's going to start all over again and take so many years to get where you are now, spiritually and in the level he's got for you. Shake it off. It's actually an Ishmael, not an Isaac. It's the thing that looks like the right thing, but it's not. God wants you here. But after that's going to come all the blessings you cannot imagine. So many interesting things. And what is your name next to her, the model?
Bethany.
What's your name?
Bethany.
Are you their daughter? Okay, so you look like, definitely not like dad. You must have, yeah. It's a blessing, right? We have an expression, in our country, in my language, on se lirika bull mak moi kalas. And so if I translate it, it would be that ugly bulls make pretty calves. It's an idiom in our language. Just saying. So what do you do, ma'am?
To real estate investing.
Investing in real estate? And are you married? Are you in love? What? Here's the thing. You know when you read a book and you turn the page, you can't see the previous chapter. And you've really started a new chapter in your life, although you still carry the disappointment and the hurt from the previous chapter. And you need to start your new chapter and not look back. God told Lot, do not let your wife look back. She had to look back and cost her. So I'm appealing to you, this is what you got to do today. Shake off in your mind. I'm shaking off. You're trying to still, every once in a while you wake up in the night and you try to analyze what happened. Why? What did I do wrong? You did nothing wrong. The enemy came to steal, divide, and destroy. But life also happened. But you've got to shake it off because God makes covenant promise with you that he won't allow that to happen again. You'll never let your heart go through that sorrow again, ever. But you must follow after him to have that. That's the condition. You have to follow after him. And you are. You're on your way there. God's going to bless you. What you've learned from what you thought was tragic is you cannot buy it. It's just phenomenal. Because you could never make some of the mistakes again. Never. It's not possible. You learned incredible. Like your dad, you don't make the same mistake twice. Just not your nature. And in fact, you like your dad in business only on steroids. You're going to go much faster and much more effective. Because he's a little bit nervous to take risks now. And you not. You will step it up. And you have. And he doesn't like to confront or be harsh, to negotiate. He doesn't like unpleasantness. You have no problem. We're going to tell you how the apple's peeled, and this is how it is, and we'll cut this deal, and this is how it's going to happen. And people say, yes, ma'am. Because there's something, there's authority on you, something on you that's very gifted. And so you're a combination of both blessings of your mom and dad. So this is a good day and good day. This is the one of the most happiest years. The next 3 years will be absolutely delightful years of your life. Right? Yeah. Do you want to say anything to them?
Yeah, I just picked up the same things that he picked up. And I just want to tell you also that you have instituted a generational blessing in your family because you've asked God to bless your children and your parents asked to bless you. And so there's a generational blessing that's following you. She will do much greater than you did, but it's because of the blessing of God that's not on her life.
Don't you love his accent? I have to concentrate myself to understand him half the time. What's your name with a mask on? Are you a nurse, doctor? Why is that thing on your face?
Name is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Are you in this church? I love your spirit. There's something so sweet and unselfish about you that I'm drawn to you by the spirit. What do you do?
I'm a CPA, certified professional accountant.
Accountant, and I bet you're a good one. But what makes you really a champion of God is your heart. And it's because of your heart that you've had the stuff to go through that was unrighteous and you weren't deserving of. So don't take it personally. The enemy is doing all he can to tire you out. But you are favored, and God is focused on you, just terribly focused on you, always watching over you because you really have won God's heart in your whole life. Since you were a little girl, you've always been kind and unselfish and sweet, and God's favor is upon you. You come through a very bad season, and God's bringing back the joy in your life and restoring to everything and then some in your life. You're not going to stay in the house or the area you're living in. There's a little relocation. God's making everything new. You're so practical and you know how to stretch a dollar. You know how to get the best deal cheaper, just have that way about you. But I'm here to tell you that you are going to move to another area and you're going to spend a little. You're going to have a really nice, it's too, you keep complaining that area is too expensive. I can get a better deal here. Stop that. God's positioning you in a special place for a lot of success. He's doing a lot of things. And the next 2-3 years is big upgrades in your business arena. You're going to a whole new level. You've always tried to keep it low, manageable. God's going to change your style of management because you don't want someone else to do the work because you don't trust them. You've got to redo it again. That's what you said. Anyway, God's going to give you some really good workers. Are you smiling? Do you know him?
He's my husband.
Did you know that, sir? What's your name? What's it, Roy?
Rox Roy.
Rox Roy. Isn't that a common name? Rox Roy. What do you call him? Makes complete sense to me. So, Kevin, what do you do for a living?
I'm a marine painter.
You're a painter. Boats. Paint boats, okay. There's always be work for you, always, because you're in this area where, of course, lots of boats that just stand there and don't do anything, and then you've got to keep painting them, right? Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Jamaica.
Why I'm asking is I sense that God actually planted you here, and there's been lots of those that have complained that you're not supposed to be here, but absolutely was your destiny for God, for you to be here. It's no question God wants you here, and he's going to bless it. Your real gift is with people. You're everybody's friend. If people don't like you, it's usually their problem because you just have the most congenial attitude. You're a very good and loyal friend, and people can tell you things in confidence you will never repeat it, not even to your wife. She tries to get mad at you, and you make a joke of it all. You laugh it off, and it's difficult to fight with you because you just have a different person. And that personality, that trait, God wants to use amongst the generations of people that are messed up. They'll come to you, and you're going to be a real soul winner and a healer of broken pieces of people. You'll put lives together because you're patient. And even when you paint, you're very patient. You're very careful. Nobody's to come back and say, redo this. They complain you're too slow. But it's first time right. And that's how you'll be with God's people. The same way you'll be with God's people. And that's what God's evolving and growing inside of you spiritually to touch people's lives. You're very valuable to the Lord. And you're at the most critical time where God's launching some new things spiritually for you. Your new home is going to be a wonderful haven for you to be blessed in, but also for people to come to and get touched because you build relationships. And it's all part of the plan. Go.
Kevin, Rox Roy.
Rox Roy, you remember, do you?
Yeah. The enemies try to steal quite a bit from you, but God says he's going to restore it all to you. And so in a new season, it will not be necessarily with the things that you know, but with the things that God lead you into. God's going to restore you financially in a supernatural way. And you will be more comfortable than you are right now. I want to tell your wife that you're an amazing woman, and in some ways you have bottled a lot of things up in the inside of you, and you don't like to speak until that day that you explode. And that is not the way that God intended it for you. And so God is teaching you wisdom, and he's changing your management style so that you'll convey and be more comfortable in your communication towards people, because you really love people. You really love people. It's just difficult for you when they mess up. And so God's going to use you in that area to actually grow people and take them from zero to hero. Amen.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I need an honest answer. You cannot lie in church. It's double penalty. If you have never received a personal prophecy, not just from me, from anyone in your life, you've never been prophesied over in your life, now's your time to raise your hand. I want to see those hands. All right, anybody? I'm going to pick a few if you don't mind. The gentleman with the white shirt, would you stand? The couple here, please, would you stand? And this gentleman here, are you a couple? Did you know that, ma'am? Could you stand? Would you stand, please? Okay, that's enough for now. Let me just start with that, please. All right, let me start on my left-hand side. What is your name, sir?
Dorsey.
Dorsey. And are you in this church?
Yes.
You like it now?
Oh, yes, I do.
What's your little lady's name? Are you married?
Yes.
Legally?
Just checking. I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding. And how many kids do you guys have?
She has two and I have two.
So you kind of combined them, blended them. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. It's not natural or normal to bury a child. It's not normal. And only God can comfort you because he had to bury his child. So he has compassion. Now, you have been to hell and back, not just because of your child, but so much has gone wrong, and the devil tried to tell you you're a loser because you've lost so many things. But I'm here to tell you from God, who I don't even know you. I'm telling you, God says it's not true. Yes, you've made some mistakes, but always your heart wanted to do what's right. You do go from 0 to 110 seconds. You do get upset in a hurry. You do. And you get loud, but you cool down usually pretty fast. But none of that distresses God because he loves your heart. You want to do what's right. Growing up, you're this one parent you try to please and you love them so much, you try hard to please it, and always that driving force to please them, even now. Years, much later, you still have this thing in your heart to do what's right. But you please the Lord because he knows your heart. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of keys that's very important. The first one is you can't make decisions in a hurry. Every time you've messed it up, you were too quick. You were too emotional. You know, take it down a notch. Wait till tomorrow because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. The second thing is of great importance. You have to forgive. You've been done wrong by people close to you and people in business to you. And you have to forgive. If you don't release them completely in your heart, you're going to have difficulty moving on spiritually. The third thing is your expectancy must change. Because in this year, God's going to start the restoration procedure of what you've lost financially. And I mean right down to your house. You lost a lot. God's going to restore step by step back to you everything. Now, you don't feel like you're a good Christian, and you're certainly not. But there's not one good Christian in this room. Not one. Maybe Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill. But definitely not the rest of us, because we're just plain human, full of stuff. We are saved by grace. So I don't want you to put yourself down anymore. You need to stop it. It's getting old. As for you, ma'am, this is a new day. God's going to turn your mourning into dancing. Turn your sorrows into gladness. He's not forgotten about you. You have been to hell and back. You had nowhere to go to, and you're clinging to life for people that you think need you because you had lost your desire to live. You just lost that whole fire. And in your own family, it's such chaos in your own family. So much talk and people, so much fighting. Today, you shake it off because the Lord says, I like you. I like your heart. You can stop trying to defend yourself. Stop being defense mode because I want to bless you. You've got such good qualities in you. You care about people. The little girl that you grew up to be was always caring and loving and fun. You were a fun girl. You weren't stressed. Now you wake up and stress. You go to bed with stress. You're miserable. It stops now because he wants you to be happy. You said you were tired of struggling financially. You were tired of being poor. It's coming to an end. It's going to change now. As sure as I live, go. Pratma.
Because of all the stress on your life, I just noticed that there is something in your body that God wants to heal. And so as I speak to you at this moment, God's just bringing relief to you. He's taking off that burden. And you will live. You will not die.
I want a beer.
Ma'am.
Beer.
God loves you. You're a person that can really entertain people, and you love having people around you and to socialize. But your great gift in that is that you've spoken into people's lives without them knowing, and you've given them wisdom. And so don't take it for granted when people always come to spend time with you. There's a sincerity in you that God's going to use for his kingdom.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. What's your name, please? Grace? What a wonderful name. And what do you do, Grace? A pharmacy technician. Does it mean you make drugs? You hope not? What do you do?
I deal with the patients and I help them. I fill up the drugs and I type up the drugs. And
where do you live?
I live in Vero Beach.
Vero Beach.
Thank you.
Okay, and where do you come from originally?
I'm from China.
Okay, you don't sound like it though.
No.
Do you speak Chinese?
No, unfortunately.
Why unfortunately?
Yes, I wish I still get a little
It's not
bit.
Too late. You're still young. And if you can learn to take care of drugs, you can take care of Chinese. The reason why I'm asking is because your roots are not going to be here. God's got some serious moving and travel in your life. You have not finished your education. There's one more level of education that's to do with what you do, but not quite the same thing. It's to empower you, whether it's in management, some other kind of skill to add to what you have to take you to the direction you're going to go. It seems to me that you're going to be working on some sort of ship that does rescue, heal, I don't know, to do with health. It's all to do with health. It's carrying a flag of something to do with health. And so you'll be very involved in that. But you have managerial skills. You have skills to organize and make executive decisions. And God's grooming you for that in time. And you have no fear. You have uncanny courage. You will do things that other people will never do because you just have that courage. You think about it, you think it through, and just go. There's no complication in you. How old are you now?
I'm 20.
20. Because it's not time for you to be very interested or very fixed in relationship. There's a time, but it's just not now. You've got too many things going on. Don't be concerned. Don't let someone push you into something. You let God lead you because you're on track. Just keep going. Right?
You have way more potential that you actually tell yourself. A lot of other people around you tell you that you're very clever and that you have a lot of potential, but you don't believe it yourself. And so I just release you from that today because God has put in you greatness and you will achieve everything that you set out to do.
Hallelujah. So what is your name?
Paul.
Paul, and you are Silas? Oh, you the little chef thing and you the one that drives the boat.
And I'm from Cape Town.
From Cape Town, where?
Hout Bay.
Oh, Hout Bay. Yeah. Hout Bay. Kan jy nie Afrikaans praat nie?
Ja, ek kan.
Nou, sê Hout Bay dan.
Okay, Hout Bay.
Baie mooi, man. Okay. Where'd you grow up? In Hout Bay?
In Hout Bay.
Okay, how old are you now? Pardon?
Yeah, 44.
Did you go to school there too in Hout Bay?
Yes.
Do they have schools there? I didn't even know then.
A primary school.
Julle net 'n kleerlinge skool daar is hier aan al die skole man. Dis nie so baie lekker breed daar nie. Is nie tog as jy nogal slim, né?
Ek hoop so.
Wie het geweet van die Kaap af? All right. So, I'm glad you're here. What makes you so unique is your heart. You're super smart, but there's something about your heart that's very unique. You have a heart for people and you're to be trusted. Because most of your decision-making and your motives do not come from a selfish, egotistical place. There's always a greatness and a kindness in you. You've got a wife that's really born to lead and to really change the world. She's cooking, you leading the ship, you actually captain it or manage it, but her skills are definitely in very powerful leadership because she needs that fight. You care about the people. You're a protector. You will always shield someone. You'll always take an extra precaution where she'll take the extra risk. And that's just very different in different personalities. And together you'll form a team. When the two of you got married, God looked the two of you and said, these two will either get along really well or kill each other.
Thursday was our 15-year anniversary.
With a wonderful. Congratulations. Because you've been so different in so many ways that you cannot agree on some things, but you're very, very much united in others. And that's all part of the territory to build and make strong. So are your children, Chalk and Cheese. So are they also very different by nature, and both of them have leadership skills rebuilt into them in different weird ways, and they'll always rub a little bit each other because they are leaders. That's what they do. And so your season of captaining a ship is limited. Even though you loved and wanted and enjoy it, it's not part of the permanent program God has for you. It's the step in the right direction. God has interesting things for you scheduled. What makes you good is not your skill to lead a ship and the education, but who you actually are. Because you're to be trusted, and you're careful, you pay attention, you protect, you do all the things that God wants to touch certain the natural and the supernatural. So God's got great plans for you. He has broken a repeated curse in your family of people getting sick, strange diseases in certain times. He's broken that curse over you because there's been a certain amount of prayer that has been before you even were born that has been issued. And so God wants you to know that all disease, especially cancer, will never touch your bloodline again. But you must know, because God has spoken life over you.
You're a good man with a real upright spirit. Much like David, there's a real gentleness in you. And God is going to use that with the people around you. You're really a people's person, but you have a deep heart desire. I see you sailing and you're passing a certain place, a certain spot, the environment. And every time you go past that, you say, wouldn't it be nice to stay here? And now the promise of God is that a door that he opens, no man will shut. You can't grasp it yet, but God's going to put you there where the desire of your heart wished to be. And so that is God's purpose for you, and he's aligning you. You don't want to do things right. You always want to walk right in the sight of the Lord. And even if you did something wrong, you've got a wife to correct you very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Don't we know that?
But God's instituting an Ezekiel 36 man in you, where he says, I'm putting a new heart in you, and I will make you walk in my statutes, and people will notice it.
Hallelujah. So what is your name?
Tom.
Where are you from, Tom?
New York.
Not surprising. New York. So are you married?
Divorced.
And how many children do you have?
Two.
What do you do for a living, Tom?
I'm retired.
From what?
Chef.
You're the kind of chef I can trust. This chef here is way too skinny for my liking. She'd be probably making healthy food that tastes no good. Oh, look, no calories, no flavor. What's your specialty?
All food.
All right, good job. You're kind of hot-headed. You know, you get a little excited and say things you shouldn't say, but your heart is... Anybody that knows your heart's gold. You bark all the time, but you don't bite. You're just the kindest, sweetest person you always have been. Look back in your life and see how many times you complained about helping someone, but you always did it anyway. Always did it. No matter how bad it was, you always did it because there's something in you that's very tender-hearted. God picked you because of it. God picked you because since a little boy, you always did the kind things. You did some naughty things as a boy. You did some things, but you always went back. You left the crowd of boys who were bad and always made up for it and did something good because it was your nature to be kind and loving. God wants to restore to you what's rightfully yours in so many ways. You have a technique and ability to do business, and you're going to help someone. And, of course, in COVID times, it's a little more difficult, but there is something God has planned and for you, and I see you educating and teaching some sort of class where you're going to help people because not only can you teach them the standard techniques, there's something that you do that's very unique too that you're going to teach people with and show them and help groom people in your abilities and such like. You've had people judge you very wrongly. And I don't mean your marriage only. I mean in every arena, even in industry you were in, they judged you wrongly and made your life difficult. And it was a hard journey for you because you're not judgmental. Yes, you get excited and hot-headed and say things you shouldn't say, but you have no judgment in you. And that all those things make you the good man that you are. This is the beginning of a new day in your life, and God's making it all work together. You wish you can go back and change some things. You have children, and one of them's kind of distant or keeping there, not trying to talk to you. And God's going to this year do a wonderful thing in the spirit and reconcile. Better than it could have been if there had been no misunderstanding. God's going to fix it. And the less you say, the easier God can do it. Go. Make something up. Thank you very much. God bless you. We could start our own. Who needs restaurants? We've got our own chefs. Let's just do it. All right. Let's go to Costco and get the material. Let's do it. Get some sharp knives. Okay. Who else put their hands up? Let me see. All right. Thank you. Next to the this little lady here, please, and this gentleman with the hand up, please, and this side, let me find some sinners. This gentleman here, thank you. All right, it's enough. Can I keep going, Pastor? I realized, look at me, I realized I couldn't bring them out because it's kind of tough to get them out of the seats like that. Okay, so what is your name, sir, with the hat? Droid?
Gerard.
Thank you so much, Gerard. Are you married?
No, divorced.
Would you like to get married again?
Yes.
Let me see what I can do for you. Just point and click. What do you do for a living, Gerard?
I'm in IT.
You know, you don't look for trouble. It just finds you. It's amazing how stuff happens with you. I don't know what it is. If when you were a kid, if it broke or something bad happened, it had to be Gerard. You were somehow involved in it because you just do the strangest thing. You're not scared of it. You always have this adventure thing going on. You're just a society you just never grew up. And you got into all kinds of trouble. And you are super, super smart. At the same time, you're dumb. Because the things you've done in relationships has been dumb, and you know it, but you are super smart. You smell a rat very quickly when something's wrong, and you work it out. And if you'd used your smarts, you would not have been wealthy and successful. You would have touched a lot of lives. You know what I'm saying is true. And so here's the call now, to surrender your heart and let God take control. So you won't be that little dog that's led astray every 5 minutes. You're going to be focused on God has, and use your, because you are definitely a Marvel superhero, and your superpowers, you're smart, you're very smart, and you've got to work it through, use your brain, which you never did. You didn't think with your head. Now you're going to think with your head, and God's going to bless it. God is going to restore to you what's rightfully yours. You've had money, lost it, so much has come and gone in your life. Stuff doesn't stay long with you, but you get bored very quickly too. Very quickly. And so God's going to teach you his ways, and you're going to focus on the project he gives you and do what God's got for you. Listen to me. This is the most important thing you must hear. There's a purpose in your life that you haven't found yet. You were born for a destiny and a purpose. Get on that and follow it. But you interact with it once in a while. But now you've got to get on it and go full speed with it. It's of great importance. Yes?
Yes. Thank you.
You're very clever, and you have a tenacity in you to actually make a success of everything that you do. You get a bit upset with people who give up too quickly and they don't want to learn. And so you get upset with them. And so there's a fatherly figure in you that actually wants to train people. It's just you don't want to go through, I don't know what the English word, rigmarole?
There's English.
Okay.
Or Japanese or something.
You don't want to go through that. The effort always to struggle with them because it seems like they don't want to work with you, but God has really put a father figure in you to actually train people, and so there's a teacher in you that's coming to the foreground. Now the Lord says that you've made many mistakes, but hear what God says: I am forgiving you. I hold to no account what you have done. So you have my forgiveness.
That's good.
But he wants you to connect with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just connect with him.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Let's
Amen.
Do it. Let's do it.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. There was someone put a hand up. Someone who put that? No, I picked someone. Who did I pick here? No, this gentleman. Wasn't there? That's right. You. What's your name? Zana? Oh, Donna. Donna, are you married, Miss Donna? Just interesting. Okay, so... What do you do for a living? From? Connecticut. We're going to Connecticut next weekend to Pikeville. Oh, that's Kentucky. Connecticut, you said. Oh, Connecticut's up New York. New York. You don't even sound like that. You're from there, Connecticut. I got mixed up. Sorry. So, are you got children? Where? Because here's what I'm sensing. You are existing but not living. Kind of burnt out and just have get up in the morning because you have to. And that stops today because you were born to be happy and full of joy. He said, ask of me what you will, so your joy can be full. God wants you to be happy. But your happiness can't be in what's expected of you and everyone's opinion. Lord knows you try to please everybody, and that has not worked very well for you. So here we stop and we please God. And that way you'll please the right people. People that need to discover who you are, because you're a treasure. They haven't discovered it. You've begun to believe you're worthless because you just can't do it right. You're wrong. You couldn't do it right for them, but you spoiled them. But now God's going to use you and fan into flame his purpose for your life. You are very talented. You are an outstanding communicator. It's a gift that you have since you're a little girl. You can write stuff. You can put it together like that. You can rephrase people's little books and you can make it sound so much better. It's in you. And this is what's going to be the season of your life now. God's going to use you to do different communication things. Part of the plan and make new friends. Got a whole lot of new things for you. Go. Okay. What's your name, sir, with the muscles? Okay. I want to buy a sweater like that too. Daniel? Am I embarrassing you? I was trying so hard. Okay. So this is your, next to you is your daughter?
It's girlfriend.
Your what?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Did you know that? What's your name? Gwen DeVere, or Gwen?
Gwendolyn.
And what do you do, Gwendolyn?
I'm a barista at Starbucks.
Oh, then you're my favorite. I believe in St. Arbucks. I like the coffee, can I say. And what do you do, sir?
I'm finishing grad school.
Finishing grad school?
PhD in clinical neuropsychology.
Lord, we knows we need some of those here in this place.
Yeah.
So where do you come from?
I live in Broward, but I was born in upstate New York.
Okay, here's the thing. You should have been dead. Had God not intervened, you would have been physically dead. God rescued your life.
Yes, he did.
And it was between the devil and yourself. You were in self-destruct mode at one stage, and God had to pick you out of that hole because you were born with a destiny. Your life's going to make a very significant difference to a certain lot of people. And so your studies are only just a track, but the real you is going to touch people's lives in the most phenomenal way. Do you understand? You're born for a purpose, and don't you ever let that spirit of death touch you again until it's your time and season. Jesus says, no one takes my life. I surrender. And they tried. Oh, Lord, no, they tried. But he would go right, walk right through them. He would escape them. When it was time, he said, here I am. Come and get me. It's not your time. You have many, many years of work to do, and you're only beginning. You've got to shake off the sadness that the devil's lied to you. You're not a maniac depressive. All the nonsense they've told you is a lot of lies. Just pull yourself together, suck it up, and serve God, and watch what happens to you, how God will bless you. Do you understand? There was no mistake when you were born. It was a happy day, rejoicing in heaven because of the destiny in your life. But now begins the fun. As for you, ma'am, interesting little lady. You go through two different crises. One is when I'm all down and feel like I'm nothing. Other day, I got the confidence I can take the whole world. And that's who you are. You have so much to give, so much love, that just mustn't make you mad. Because you are a whole different person when you get mad. Ooh, Lordy. But at the same time, you're so loyal and committed. The spirit of rejection, or actually not being good enough in your own family, climbed on you. And it's a lie from the devil. It's not true. The devil lied to you. They don't even really feel like that. It's all a lie. It's all a setup to get you like this. So loose yourself from that and serve God. You've made some bad judgments and bad mistakes, bad friends, bad relationships. Shake it off. It's a new day. Serve God. If you do one thing for me today, purpose in your heart, I'm going to come to church every Sunday I can and serve every time when I'm not working at Starbucks and do the best I can and serve God. Then the second thing is going to happen. When God starts to reconcile your family, just go with the flow. Don't try and say too much. Just let God fix. Because they all broken, let me tell you. Every one of them. Right? Go, girlfriend. That's what I'm saying.
Daniel, I know you're studying something different, but I really see you as a life coach. And what I hear from the Lord is that God's going to use you for people that are really famous and wealthy, and you're going to institute principles in their life. To institute principles in their life that they think is specific to life, but that will actually be the principles of God that you institute. And you're going to change many people's direction, the way that they are going, and turn them to the kingdom. That's
right.
Really your purpose. Ma'am, I want to tell you, the Lord tells me that money just will follow you naturally.
Woo!
And God will put it in your hand.
Not Starbucks, though.
Yeah, you're not going to work for it hard. God will put it in your hand.
Yes.
But he's laying up a spirit of worship in you. That's your purpose.
Bring it.
Spirit of worship. And it must flow out of you continuously. That's the word of the Lord.
Could you share with them what the Lord showed you for them, please?
Amen. Let me just get here. There's a scripture in James in chapter 1 that, so I'm speaking to the pastors, Barry, male and female, praise the Lord. There's a scripture in James chapter 1 that says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. It says, because when your faith are being tested, God is actually instituting perseverance. And so I just want to honor you, both pastors in this church, because you have laid a solid foundation of faith and instituted a foundation of faith within the people in this church. And people who are around you for some time, they can't help but get a swing on them that says, we will not give up, we will prevail. And wouldn't it be a sad day if the church loses a joy over somebody that is maybe not in position, or a bank account, or a virus that goes through the world? Wouldn't it be a sad day if the church loses a joy? But you have instituted faith, and people have true perseverance. And now the Lord tells me, on Friday morning, I wrote down some things. The Lord says, the fruit of your labor will not lay waste. It will not be lost. It will not be stolen. For the Lord will keep your vessels filled with oil, and he will keep your barns flowing with abundance. He says, do not be discouraged in your time when you see famine around you. The Lord says, in that day, I will make your right hand strong and your appearance shine with gladness. He says, in a moment, I'll institute a new sound and it will arise, a worship that is pure from the heart, that's undistorted, a proclamation that is not from the soul but from the heart. Your voice will ring with the sound of victory, and your mantle will be declaring healing to the nations. And since you were a young man, you started following Apostle Phil, there was that desire for the gift of healing to operate through your life. And God says, it's your portion. He says, I will make my name great. That's what God says. He will make his name great, but you will be his instruments. And so that's God's purpose for you. I also want to tell your wife that God is laying a mantle of governance upon you, and you will manage and lead in a different way than you're doing right now. And God's going to branch you out to some extent. You will have your own TV series. You hear what I'm saying? You will have your own TV series to help the broken and the destitute. That's God's purpose. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Well, the reason why we wanted to have Prophet Ed Trout for 4 services is because we want you to have another opportunity to come back, because he can prophesy over everybody in one service. But if you keep coming, like yesterday, many people received the word from the Lord. And then tonight, we'll be back at 6 p.m. And I trust, you know, if you came hoping for a word from the Lord this morning and you didn't receive it, well, I trust you'll receive it tonight. And I encourage you to come join us this evening. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed church today. It was so good, right? It was so good. And I want to thank Prophet Ed for coming and ministering and being with us this weekend, and being a good friend to me and to our church for these so many years. Let me tell you, if there's anyone that I call for advice, it's him. And I so loved our trip to Israel in 2019. And I would encourage you, the next time that Ed takes a trip, I don't know when it'll be, but you really should come. It was one of the highlights of my life, was going to Israel with Ed Trout for those 9 days. And so the next time, I don't know if you're going to go again sometime, right? Well, I hope so, because if you do, we want to come too. Praise the Lord. Bow your head for a moment if you would. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, please. Every eye to be closed if you would. While heads are bowed and while eyes are closed, let me tell you the most important question of your life is, are you sure that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord? Can you say that today? Can you say, Pastor Steve, I know that all is right between me and God? Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say, I know for sure without any doubt that I would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church, and I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, if you died today, are you sure? Can you say you know that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. Let me tell you, heaven is real. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you today. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to be sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know the Lord is with me. If that's you today, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand up now. Hold it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, thank you. Then you're included in this prayer. God bless you. I see hands being raised. You may be watching this online today. I want to lead you in this prayer. And I'm going to ask you to please say this with me, because the scripture tells us in Romans 10 in verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you can be sure that heaven is where you'll spend eternity, is if you will believe that Jesus has been raised up from the dead and he is the Lord, and you will declare him as Lord of your life. If you will follow him, the Bible says you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you to please say this prayer with me, particularly if you raised your hand. But I'm going to ask everyone to say this together. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood, take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, that I would be saved. Say, I do this today. I believe in my heart, Jesus, you're alive. And I confess with my mouth, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you today. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you, because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Give God thanks for those folks if you would do that. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person receives the Lord. If you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes when I close the service, please would you remain seated where you are. We have a gift we want to get to you before you go home. So thank you so much. Thank you for inviting and bringing a guest today. Now, when we have a guest, as we did today with Prophet Ed, we always want to support and give unto their ministry. We have received today. The Bible, Paul said, if we've sown spiritual things to you, is only right that we should receive of your material things. And then here in 3 John in verse 5, the scripture says this. John is writing to the church, and he's specifically talking about supporting traveling missionaries and ministers that come through the church. And look what he says. My beloved friend, I commend you for your demonstration of faithful love By all that you've done for the brothers on their journey, even though they were strangers at the time, they have shared publicly with the congregation about the beautiful acts of love that you've shown them. Now, if you would be so kind, send them on their way with a generous gift. Say generous. Send them on their way with a generous gift in a manner that would honor God. So he says, I want these traveling missionaries that have come through and ministered to you, I want you to send them on their way with a generous gift in a way that would honor God, not in a way that would dishonor God. It says, you see, it was their passion for the glory of the name of Christ that launched them out, and they have not accepted financial support from unbelievers. They are deserving of all the support we can give them, because through our giving, we can partner with them for the truth. Do you know that when you give unto a ministry, unto a church, you partner with that ministry and church? In other words, whatever Ed Trout, whatever life is touched because of his ministry, and like you heard, I love that story you told about the young man that was in the church that had the drug, was a drug dealer, and Ed prophesied over him, and his whole life turned around, and now he's on fire serving the Lord. Let me tell you, when you support Ed's ministry, you are partnering. That goes to your credit in God's eyes. Whatever life is touched, God accounts to your credit because you supported Ed Trout's ministry. Because if it wasn't for the financial support, he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing. Ed goes all over the world ministering. So we want to be a blessing to Prophet Ed. And there are different ways you can give. If you didn't know this already, if you're using cash, check, or a credit card, please use the offering envelope in the front of the seat back in front of you. You can give online at ascendchurch.us, and you can give by text giving. And our kiosk is not working at the moment. We have it being fixed. But those are the different ways to give. I want you to prepare yourself today. I want to encourage you to give something to sow. The scripture says, let's send Ed on his way with a generous gift. Amen. Thank you for your great enthusiasm today. Try and get as excited about giving as you do about getting a word. The day you get as excited about giving as you do about receiving the word, that's when you know you're growing. Amen. Amen. So, are we ready to give today? I said, are we ready to give today? Are you ready? Can we go ahead and pass that? They didn't pass the, but did you pass the buckets? Did you start?
No.
Oh, start now. Pass it now. And I want to thank all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today. All of those, our children's church workers and our media team and our worship team and our ushers and our greeters. Why don't you give them a round of applause? Let them know that we appreciate them today. I want to encourage you tonight. We'll be back at 6 p.m. Come join us. Bring somebody with you. We'll be streaming online. God bless you. I'll be preaching next Sunday. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless everybody. We'll see you tonight.
This is my testimony from death to life. Because grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you later on tonight. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.